This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. People have an eternal problem. Eternal salvation through Jesus Christ is the solution to this problem. Nothing else in the world can fix the sin and rebellion issue but complete surrender to Jesus, as revealed in the Bible. More money is nice here on earth, but it does not help when we stand before God on Judgment Day. Fine friends, parties, and lovers are all very enjoyable, but they cannot help you to avoid hell and instead enter heaven. Some say, oh, I just do not believe all that stuff about hell. Religious people just want to spoil your fun. Actually, it is Satan who wants to end all of your fun and pleasure as he sets you up for failure and leads you straight to his kingdom of torment and hell. Satan is the most expert liar, and that lie about spoiling your fun, that's one of the most effective lies he has. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in the name of Jesus, amen. Some material for this program is from gotquestions.org. Our website address, visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website, visionforchristworld.com/contact. There are countless reasons to believe in Jesus. Many of us start on a journey of faith because we need something that Jesus can give us. We need help, hope, healing, or joy. But there is one critical reason to believe in Jesus that underlies all the others, and that is to bring us into right relationship with God. Relationship with God is the remedy for all that is wrong with us and the resolution for everything we need. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why did he die on a cruel, agonizing cross of execution? He came and did all that to bring us into a relationship with God the Father. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting the sins of people against them. That's 2 Corinthians 5:19. Mending our broken relationship with God is the primary point of Christian salvation. The Bible says that all of us have a problem. It's called sin. Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:8. Because we are born into this world as sinners, we are separated from God, and we're on a path that leads to eternal destruction. But God loves us and wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to save us from destruction and give us everlasting life. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him, 1 John 4:9. The death of Jesus on the cross about 2,000 years ago paid the full price for our sin. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. 1 John 2:2. Jesus satisfied the debt we owed and took the punishment we deserved. See 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. When Christ rose from the dead, he conquered death for us. Revelation 1:8 and Hebrews 2:14. We do not have to die because Christ already died for us. The only way to be forgiven of sin and restored to God is to repent and believe in Jesus. Jesus is the only way to the Father. 1 John 2:5 is one example. Also, in John 14:6 and 7, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." God longs to connect with us in an intimate friendship. When we believe in Jesus, we become children of God. The Bible says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's John 1:12. When we believe in Jesus, we receive access to the presence of God to comfort, protect, lead, and guide us. He teaches us and speaks to us through his word, the Bible, and enables us to live for him by the power of his Holy Spirit. See Acts 1:8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When we believe in Jesus, we receive the greatest gift of all, the salvation of our soul, 1 Peter 1:8 and 9. And this gift is free. We cannot do anything to earn it. We do not deserve it, but He gives it to us anyway. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. See Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Believing in Jesus opens up our hearts to experience a love like no other, the kind of love that is willing to sacrifice and die for us. See John 10, 11 and Romans 5, 8. The love of God is the strongest and most profound love ever known, and nothing will ever separate us from it. See Romans 8. Believing in Jesus and having a relationship with God sets us free from our old life of guilt, shame, and sin. John 8:36. Only through Christ can we experience the satisfaction our souls long for. In Psalms it says, "For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things." Psalm 107. When we enter into a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, we learn who we were created to be and discover the true purpose of our lives. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2:10. Unlike the question, does God exist, the question of whether Jesus Christ existed is asked by relatively few people. Most accept that Jesus was truly a man who lived in Israel 2,000 years ago. The debate begins with a discussion of the full identity of Jesus. Almost every major religion teaches that Jesus was a prophet, or a good teacher, or a godly man. But the Bible tells us that Jesus was infinitely more than a prophet, a good teacher, or a godly man. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, writes the following. I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Him, meaning Christ. I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I do not accept His claim to be God. Now that is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sorts of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about His being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to. Again, that is a very famous quote from Christian author C.S. Lewis. So, who did Jesus claim to be? Who does the Bible say He is? First, He is God in the flesh. Jesus said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. At first glance, this might not seem to be a claim to be God. However, look at the Jews' reaction to His statement. They tried to stone Him for blasphemy because you, a mere man, claim to be God. John 10:33. The Jews understood Jesus' claim as a claim to be God. In the following verses, Jesus never corrects the Jews or attempts to clarify His statement. He never says, I did not claim to be God. When Jesus said, I and the Father are one, He truly was claiming equality with God. In John 8:58, Jesus claims preexistence, an attribute of God. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. In response to this statement, the Jews again took up stones to stone Jesus. In claiming preexistence, Jesus applied a name for God to Himself, I am. See Exodus 3:14. The Jews rejected the identity of Jesus as God incarnate, but they understood exactly what He was saying. Other biblical clues that Jesus is God in the flesh include John 1:1, which says, The Word was God, coupled with John 1:14, which said, The Word became flesh. Thomas the disciple declared to Jesus, "My Lord and my God," John 20:28. Jesus does not correct him. The Apostle Paul describes Jesus as our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's Titus 2:13. The Apostle Peter says the same, calling Jesus our God and Savior, 2 Peter 1:1. God the Father bears witness of the identity of Jesus as well. But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom." That's Hebrews 1:8 and Psalm 45:6. Old Testament prophecies such as Isaiah 9:6 announce the deity of Christ. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Why is the question of the actual identity of Jesus so important? Why does it matter whether Jesus is God? Well, several reasons. As C.S. Lewis pointed out, if Jesus is not God, then Jesus is the worst of liars and untrustworthy in every way. If Jesus is not God, then the apostles would likewise have all been liars. Jesus had to be God because the Messiah was promised to be the Holy One. Psalm 16:5. Since no one on earth is righteous before God, God himself had to enter the world as a human being. If Jesus is not God, his death would have been insufficient to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. Only God himself could provide an infinite, eternally valuable sacrifice. God is the only Savior. If Jesus is to be the Savior, then he must be God. Jesus had to be both God and man. As God, Jesus could satisfy the wrath of God. As a man, Jesus had the capability of dying. As the God-man, Jesus is the perfect mediator between heaven and earth. 1 Timothy 2:5. Salvation is available only through faith in Jesus Christ. As he proclaimed, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. Now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, truly turning away from sin, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life starting today by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our website address, visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website, visionforchristworld.com/contact. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I leave you today with this text from John chapter 6, verses 64 to 69. Jesus said, "But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had already known from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. So Jesus added, "Because of this, I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has allowed him to come." After this, many of his disciples quit following him and did not accompany him any longer. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away too, do you?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God."